everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or maybe being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. Well, with the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can go to the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order.
The World Series. The World Series. The World Series. And bang!
Oh, yeah.
It begins. Oh, yes, Jordan and Steph Curry. We'll talk about that too. Let's go around the horn. With the clink of the glasses, too. How perfect is that?
There you go.
The World Series. These pitching matchups, what are we talking about here? I mean, first to a hit wins. That's what we're talking about here. I don't know anything about odds in baseball. I never could understand the minus 150, whatever. But the Astros are the biggest favorite over their opponent in this series in 12 years. And that's with Washington coming off an LCS where they never trailed. First question. I see Kevin Blackstone's in Washington, D.C. Forget D.C. for a second. First question. Let's ask Tim. Is Houston really that big of a favorite over Washington?
They're a favorite over Washington. I don't get the idea of them being some sort of landslide favorite over Washington. For one thing, they're not hitting that well. We all think about Altuve's two-run homer to finish the ALCS. The team batting average is .208. Their on base is under .300. They struggled against the Rays, and they struggled some against the Yankees. And as far as the starting pitching goes, tonight, yes, Gerrit Cole, take him against the world. But Verlander's going against Strasburg, and then when you get to Washington, Greinke's ERA over 6. We don't know if that bullpen game, that didn't go
so
that
you don't
well
believe at the start. They're that big of a favorite. You think it's anybody's series. A series, by the way, I should say 3 weeks ago. Please, take all my points. Please. Tim Kalishow so accurately predicted. How does he do it? Okay. Should we go to Washington next? No. George Sedano, is Houston that big of a favorite?
I don't think so, Tony, but this is clearly a reward for the regular season. 107 wins, right? They also have as good a pitching staff as Washington does. I think those things are equal there. They have a better bullpen. And let's face it, I know the American League is the junior circuit, but it has absolutely been considered the more dominant league over the last several years. And Houston is going to their second World Series in 3 years. So, of course, Vegas is going to make them a favorite because Vegas wants your money, Tony. That's the reality.
Blackstone there just chomping at the bit, ready to talk about his Washington Worlds. Now you can wait a little bit longer. You waited your whole life. How about J.A. Adande here?
You can wait, Kevin. People are being, you know, yes, you look at the totality of the season, the Houston Astros with their 107 wins. Yes, you think that would make them a favorite. But if you look at since May 23rd, as ESPN.com pointed out this morning, they have identical records, and the Nationals actually have a higher run differential. So if you're looking at what's happened lately, if you throw out that horrendous start, which obviously didn't cost the Nationals in the season, and it should have no effect and no impact whatsoever on how you view this series, then the Nationals are right there. We know their starting pitching is the most competitive starting pitching with the Astros, and we've seen that they can come up with timely hits as well. So I think it's a toss-up. I'm even leaning Washington's direction.
All right.
How about that?
And now we'll lean to Washington's direction. Just title town here in Washington, D.C. I mean, this is old hat for you, Blackstone. Please, your view of it.
Of course. You know what? The amazing thing is that people are talking about this as, you know, a big unbalanced World Series. And I kind of understand it because who could keep up with Gerrit Cole and Verlander in October? I mean, they have a 2.10 ERA with 60 KOs.
KOs? Wow. Not even just K's. KOs. Sure. Knocking them out.
Poor old Strasburg and Scherzer, they only have a 1.7
ERA. Hold on a second. I know what you're doing here, Blackstone. You're just lowering
lowering expectation for your Nets. That's what you're doing. I'm just pointing out the facts here. So you know what? Just give them a shot. Maybe they have a chance. Oh, maybe Annabelle Sanchez, who was flirting with a no-no in the playoffs, might get a start. Maybe
Kevin, let me ask you, Corbin, who's got the better rotation right now?
Who's got the better rotation right now? The Nationals have the better rotation when you get past Cole and Verlander.
Wait. You get past? Wait,
you can't get past Cole and Verlander.
Same question to you, Adon. They don't get past half the rotation, two-thirds of it. Who's got the better rotation right now?
You can't take those two out. So the fact that Cole's been unbeatable, you start with him and then you get to Verlander. Oh, yeah, Zach Greinke, we haven't mentioned him.
George, better rotation?
The Astros rotation.
Better rotation, a slight lean to the Nationals, but a clear advantage for the Astros with their bullpen and defense, for that matter. Yuli Gurriel's their best defender, and he's at first base. That goes to show you how deep they are on defense.
One thing you think can sway this series either way for either team?
You know, I think the Astros and the defense they play, and we saw it in Game 6 against the Yankees, and those plays, even Mickey Brantley, who's maybe one of their weakest defenders, he's making diving catches.
Listen to you and Mickey Brantley. Willie, Mickey Brantley and the Duke, okay.
Michael Brantley.
You're so familiar with him. His friends call him Mickey, so that's fine. Or will it be regular season baseballs or postseason baseballs? That's something that might turn this series as well. Can't wait. Can we get a prediction? Get a prediction from Kevin Blackstone?
Sure. Nationals in the district.
Donde? TC?
Nationals.
Astros in
Sedano.
7.
Astros in 6.
Move on. Now the NBA. How your season opens after everything in China, Zion's injury, and Jordan dunking on Steph. That's how you start a season. The most wide open season maybe since the lockout year, maybe since Jordan baseball, who knows. Look at the odds right there, Lakers and Clippers on top. That's the rivalry, that's never been a rivalry, but now we want to make it a rivalry. It starts tonight, our first look at LeBron and Davis and Kawhi, but no Paul George. George? Are the Lakers and Clippers really the favorites?
Absolutely, Tony. The Lakers have two top five players. No other team boasts that. And the Clippers have two top 10 players, and nobody boasts that either.
Well, the
so they're the clear-cut favorites in this situation.
If the Lakers have two top five, then they have two top 10 as well.
Well, clearly, but I'm talking about beyond them.
Who's better positioned? Yeah. Do you have faith in one more than the other, George?
I have faith that the Clippers might be better in the regular season because they've got better synergy, better chemistry, because you're just plopping Kawhi and Paul George, two guys that really have shown that they can play with anyone, with a team that already won 48 games. But in the playoffs, if LeBron and AD are healthy, I just don't see anyone that has an answer for those two guys.
So you like the Lakers, you mean, to win it all. You're making a call right here as well.
Yeah, I got Lakers over the Sixers in the finals.
Oh, well, why play the season? It's over. George has predicted it. It's a hot fire pick. Tim Kalishaw on the Lakers and Clippers being favorites and who's better positioned.
First of all, I like to make my finals predictions about 3 weeks before the event, not 8 months before the event. I like the Clippers better than the Lakers. I think the Clippers have most of the things that made that a playoff team that could beat the Warriors twice in the first round and added Kawhi Leonard and Paul George to that. George not playing for a little while, obviously. But they're going to cause defensive problems. Obviously the Lakers have the two great players. I don't know about the drop-off after Kuzma as to what they have left. And some of the guys they're trying to sell with Dwight Howard and all that. So I lean toward the Clippers. I don't think either one of them will finish first in the West.
Do you have Houston?
In the regular season. No, not Houston at all. I would take Denver.
Oh, okay, all right. Well, so dismissive of Houston as well. So you dismiss the Lakers, you dismiss the Clippers. So you've got Denver coming out of the West. Jay, because they're playing tonight, let's start from an L.A. perspective here. Clippers and Lakers, who do you have more faith in? Are they really the favorites?
Overall, I like the Lakers because it's getting back to the old formula that we saw at the beginning of this century when they could put the two best players on the court in any given game when they had Kobe and Shaq, and now I think LeBron and Anthony Davis had the capability on any given game of being the two best players. That's a pretty simple formula. The Clippers, I'm concerned about because without Paul George, we're not going to see them at their best. I don't think they will look like a championship team early. And championship teams usually do display it in November and December. You don't win it then, but you show you have what it takes then. And I don't think we're going to see that out of this team. And I'm wondering if by the time Paul George comes back,
that might be
true,
though. Do you feel Toronto showed it in November that they were a championship team? I wonder about that.
They show they can be taken seriously.
Although you would agree this year is different than basically every other in recent history, this century, as you say, that this is wide open.
Absolutely.
And KB, you.
Well, I got to like the Clippers. I mean, look, even without Paul George at the beginning of the year, when they get him back, that team is set to win it all, especially with Kawhi Leonard there leading the charge. And as far as the Lakers go, I mean, yeah, they've got two great players, but this is a team, a moribund franchise right now, a team that after Kyle Kuzma, who's out hurt right now, doesn't have much to lean on. So they're a big question mark. Actually, it's more interesting watching them to see if LeBron can finally get them back into the playoffs as we thought he would do last year.
You guys have had 24 hours to let the Zion sit. And now we have Pelicans VP of Basketball Operations, David Griffin. Here's what he had to say. Take a listen to this.
But the notion that this happened somehow because Zion's in poor condition is just asinine.
Going with a real Plaschke look there, David Griffin. J.A., what are you doing with this information?
I'm throwing it out because it's not about how he hurt the knee. It's about how he will recover and continue to play. Now that they've removed a piece of his meniscus, according to reports, they did a meniscus removal to get the damaged part out. There's less cushioning in his knee. So regardless of whether it's lean or fat, he's going to be heavy. We know that. And now he's going to be playing the rest of his career with less cushioning in his knee. That has me concerned.
Blackstone?
Well, this means that he's hurt and out again in terms of basketball. The more we've talked about Zion Williamson, it's been less than what he's been doing on the the less we talk about him on the court than off the court. And that's got to be disconcerting not only to the Pelicans but also to the NBA, who hope to kick off this season with Zion Williamson as the most watched new product in the game. So there's got to be a lot of concern here. And if I'm him, if I'm the Pelicans, I start looking around the league at load management and what that really means for particularly for young players. And I start thinking about when do we really want to bring him back?
George, when you hear David Griffin say, this is not about his size, it's not about his weight, how do you hear that?
Well, I hear about the weight part of it, but I do think that you have to look at three injuries in a span of just a few months, and you have to take a look at what his frame is. Traditionally, Tony, those guys who were 6'6", 285 pounds, or that kind of weight, were playing in the post. There wasn't that kind of maneuverability. They didn't have to have that kind of agility. Now he plays on the perimeter. He's explosive. He's having to do things that big men that size didn't have to do in previous iterations. Right. And I think that's something that we have to take into account here, that this is somewhat unprecedented to have a guy this big doing the stuff that he's doing.
Traditionally, 6'6", 285 weren't in the post. They were on the line of scrimmage. Tim Kalish, how about you?
That's true.
I think George is right. This is a big man who's flying through the air. He's not stationary under the basket. And even if he's not, even if it wasn't because he was out of shape, although I think that's a concern Coach K and others expressed some this summer, then I think realistically, as Jay said, the recovery, the rehab, coming back from all this with a knee that's not quite as efficient, it's going to be an issue.
You know, there have been people of your ilk who invoked the name, Greg Oden, all right? Which, I mean, we can all say, please, no, let's not even say it. But another example is Blake Griffin. He missed his rookie year completely, entirely. And he came back, and he still has had an athletic career, but he's carrying less weight than
Ben Simmons. Williams.
And this is the stuff. We're going to break here. George Sedano, I turn to you for some reckless, bold predictions for the NBA. You've already told us how it's going to end. Anything else?
I think the Miami Heat will be a 3 seed in the Eastern Conference. Watch out for Eric Spoelstra and Jimmy Butler.
All right, buy or sell next. Stick around.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
Patriots 33, Jets squadoosh. Do we even need to donate a breath on this? All right. Since you're sadist, and speaking of, look at that Belichick smile. That's even before he got the new senior. Since you're sadist, about last night, explain to me how the Jets beat the Cowboys last week and still look like they did last night. And also this, maybe you've seen the video of Darnold saying, I'm seeing ghosts. Explain to me how the Jets are irked that mic'd up moment got on the air. Directly, George, does this stick with Darnold?
No, I don't think it sticks with Darnold. I mean, he's a kid, basically. And the way this happened, Tony, is that the last 20 first or second year quarterbacks that have faced Bill Belichick.
Oh, yes, ended I know up this
losing.
Stat.
This is the stat that Bob Ryan was trying to get the other day. That's yeah. the stat. But that's it. Like, he's a kid, man. Like, this is it. Like, this
so
is
you don't think this is his butt fumble just to maybe pick a no, recent Jets no. Piece of history? Okay, how about you, Kalisha?
No. Well, clearly, beating the Cowboys took a lot out of the Jets. They didn't have a lot left for this game. So that goes without saying. But I don't think it sticks with him either. What sticks with him is the interceptions. He had an interception problem his final year at USC. He threw four plus the fumble last night. People can remember that.
Here's what it is. I'm seeing ghosts. I saw that as a light moment on air. The microphone caught. It's in the Halloween spirit. That's great. To see the Jets react in this sort of way makes you think maybe they think it makes him look like he doesn't know what he's doing. Jay, you want to weigh in here?
I don't think the ghost comment will haunt him. See what I did there? But what I do think is that he had Adam Gase afterwards saying that he was considering pulling him from the game. Don't you think that's going to hurt his confidence now to know that his
exactly.
coach was thinking about yanking him?
That is certainly the more damaging. So Kevin, how do you perceive the Jets saying, whoa, let's not let this audio get out there?
It's absolutely ridiculous. And why do you have somebody get mic'd up? I don't understand this. If it's supposed to be sports and entertainment, then just let it go. And by the way, J.A. is absolutely correct. I mean, the more important thing from this game isn't what he said, but the fact that he had a 3.6 quarterback rating. That's what you don't
stunned.
Want to stick
with. I was stunned he got to three. I mean, he may have been the best quarterback for the Patriots last night. Speaking of the Patriots, the Sanu Senior, I mean, do they need another wide receiver? Sure, why not? It's amazing to me that the Patriots, the best team in the NFL, are making themselves Rutgers North. They're just getting Rutgers guys, you know? We'll move on. Buy or sell two. The news from Golden State, Klay Thompson, unlikely to play this season, Steve Kerr has said. So that's another thing this NBA start has going for it. Tim, do you have the Warriors as a playoff team?
I think they're going to make it. I think they're going to sneak in. I don't think they'll be higher than a 7 seed. They could be going for the 7 or 8 spots. I know they have Curry, and I know they have Draymond Green and D'Angelo, but it drops off after that. And the idea that they don't expect to have Klay at all, even in March or down the stretch, that's
you think
scary.
It's scary. Do you think it's surprising that they would make an announcement after everything that happened with Durant last year and whether he would come back or not? You think you're surprised they made an announcement?
No. I think Kerr's making an announcement. We don't expect him to play. He left it open. If there's a miraculous recovery,
it may be
a miracle.
I'm selling Steve Kerr referencing his own ACL injury back when he was in college in the 1980s. Things have changed a lot since then. So just because of the amount of time it took him to come back, I'm not sure we can apply that to play.
Do you have him as a playoff team?
Actually, it's hard to see them getting in.
Kevin Blackstone, how about you?
Well, they just gave him a 5-year, $190 million deal. You know what? Put Klay on the shelf until next year and then start to make a run at it. I know that's hard. I know you don't want to tank this season or not really doing that, but do you want to wear out Steph Curry over another year trying to drag
You said tank. So I'm asking if they're a playoff
team. They're not trying
and you
to do
think
that.
Klay gone for the year and you would rest Curry, you know, in a load management sort of way more often than not?
Absolutely. Why wear him out trying to drag this team into
the playoffs? So point blank, not a playoff team for you. And how about you, George?
I think they're still a playoff team, but they're now a fringe playoff team, Tony. I think Kalisha got it right, 7-8 seed maybe. But here's the thing. This will unleash Steph Curry. I do think that Steph Curry has a little bit of a chip on his shoulder because of Durant leaving. There's some people that have forgotten how important he is to the game and how he changed the game. So I think Steph is going to lead the league in scoring. And if they make the playoffs, he should get some MVP consideration.
Wait, you're giving MVP consideration already? But the season hasn't even started yet? I think I'm mute for that. Man, maybe he's a chip on his shoulder because of what Michael Jordan said. We're going to get to that showdown. But first, fringe playoff teams have to say goodbye right now. Tim Kalisha and Kevin Blackstone. George Sedano. Jay Adonde. Showdown next.
There's Crispy. And then there's Crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy.
George Sedano and J.A. Adonde on Michael Jordan.
You could pick four guys for your pickup team. Four guys that you play anybody else with. Hakeem Olajuwon, Magic Johnson, Scottie Pippen, and James Worthy. That was 6 years ago.
Lots happened in the league in 6 years. Would you keep the same form?
In a heartbeat.
So Steph Curry shouldn't be offended when he watches.
I hope not. Hey, he's still a great player. Not a Hall of Famer yet, though.
Jordan, Jordaning all over Steph Curry. George, how do you hear it?
It's the ultimate in petty. We saw it at his Hall of Fame speech. That's who Jordan really is. But you know what? He is right to this extent. Literally, Steph Curry is not a Hall of Famer because he's been voted in yet.
Give me a mute. Don't give me literally. Adonde, how do you hear it?
I was listening to it. Technically, Steph Curry is not in the Hall of Fame. Therefore, he's not a Hall of Famer yet. And as Magic Johnson tweeted, you can't get fined for tampering if you're not praising a...
You guys, come on. This is extensive garbage time here. And if anything, it proves about his, the way he analyzes talent may not be up to par.
That was my point before
you
muted
me. Well, don't tell me to take it literally. We'll move on. Odell Beckham versus the NFL Fashion Police. Let me ask you this. Did you know the NFL requires pants to cover the knee? Can you believe that somebody's job to look for that? A $14,000 fine. Jay, how does Beckham look making the point?
Beckham doesn't look good in those shorts, but the NFL looks worse for fining him for the short shorts. No, it's absurd. If they're going to find him when he wore a watch, right? That could have scratched another player on the field. Who is hurt when he wears these short shorts, other than mankind, for this trend toward the short shorts? Leave that stuff in the 80s.
Another example of the no fun league, Tony, but he's got to know he's a target. The watch, the pants, they're watching him. He's got to understand that and not give them any ammunition.
Maybe just focus on making some catches and winning some football games. Look at these scores here. Man, golf. J.A., one under par, you're getting the win.
Hello. Yesterday's Sports Illustrated reporter Stephanie Apstein wrote a story in which she described in the exuberance of the postgame locker room after the LCS, a Houston Astros executive, Brandon Taubman, basically taunted a group of female reporters about the presence of Roberto Osuna on the roster, how glad they were to have him. This would be the same Roberto Osuna who had a domestic violence case that made him available to the Astros in the first place. Today, Taubman and the Astros apologized and said they took domestic violence seriously, which might have been okay or even standing operating procedure if their initial response last night had not been to deny the story and say Sports Illustrated fabricated it. How about this? How about we believe women when they tell their stories of how they're offended, just like we should believe women when they tell stories of domestic violence? Believe women. That should be your first response.
Wow, thank you, J.A. Adonde, professor of journalism at Northwestern. Good FaceTime. We'll see you guys tomorrow.